Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
You're on a mission from God.
Is on the air. Is on the air.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you be waiting for?
Two.
Start the show.
It is Kelly Mano Radio Podcast, Sunday, June 12th.
Yep.
2016. Not the show we planned on doing today. We had a really fun show planned today. And then the events that happened over the weekend in Orlando have obviously changed some things. So I'm pretty sure everybody knows by now that over 50 people were killed in a nightclub in Orlando that was known to be of like a gay, lesbian nightclub. Jimmy actually is in here. He broke down most of the details for me because things have been changing so much today. I've been at baseball games with my son and trying to do other things. And so I asked him to kind of wrap up for us where we are right now.
All right. Well, we know that at approximately 2 o'clock on Saturday night, Sunday morning, the gentleman, oh, he's not a gentleman, Omar Mateen is his name, and he went to the Pulse nightclub in Orlando and apparently initially shot a few shots while approximately 300 people were inside the club. Dancing initially.
So that's a big club. That's not like a bar down
the
street.
Yeah, I heard from one of the eyewitnesses who were in the club that I guess it's broken into three levels. There's like an outdoor patio, then like a main dance hall, and then there's like a little a side one. So there's three different areas within the club that people are dancing in.
Okay.
So initially, a lot of the folks thought that there was an effect in the music, like the initial booms
because of rap.
Well, there you go.
I mean, how many songs in the last 10 years have used gunshots as part of the beat?
Yeah. I thought that, and also like the techno, the bass drop and everything's so loud in there.
So initially, not a lot of folks, except for those who saw the gunman, initially knew exactly what was going
on.
So
did he come in wielding?
So he came in. Now, there is a security guard or an officer.
Police officer.
Yes, who was there at the scene. I guess he works security for the club. I'm not terribly sure yet. And they initially traded gunfire with each other. And so I don't know the fate of that officer. I don't know if he was killed yet. Mm-hmm. That hasn't been officially announced, at least not that I have heard. So they traded shots. And at that point, it turned into a hostage situation. So during that initial shooting, as many people that could escape as possible got the hell out of there. There was bouncers who were knocking down barricades so folks could escape out back doors.
Sure.
There were people that were climbing out of like AC vents, anything they could possibly do to escape. However, I guess once that officer was out of the picture and the guy had his AR-15, the assault rifle at that time, he also had a 9mm handgun and other explosive devices that were strapped to him. At that point, it turned into a hostage situation. Now, we do know at this time that there's 50 individuals in addition to the gunmen who are dead, and there are 53 who are injured, and in many of those 53 cases, it's a very intense situation where they may not pull through.
Well, at this point, the bodies are still in the nightclub. The FBI is still on the scene, as we sit here right now. Those loved ones are still inside that club. And, one of the saddest things that I heard as well a couple years ago is that, the coroners, the people who are in the FBI, the police, the first responders who are trying to remove these bodies said it's nothing but a room of ringing cell phones. 12 hours later, their phones are just ringing off the hook because their loved ones are trying to reach them. And it's just absolutely atrocious that this just keeps happening. And before we even like get any further on this show, is anybody in this room shocked that this came out to be, an Islamic terrorist? Anyone in this room shocked? Because if we're going to sit here and pretend to be PC, then we're not going to be honest.
No, I mean, I'm not. I don't know.
I was just waiting.
I'm not shocked that it's an Islamic terrorist. I don't think that's where my head went immediately, because we've had so many shootings in the last, you know, few years, and they haven't all been acts of terrorism.
It's either Islamic terrorist or creepy white guy whose mom didn't hug him enough.
Well, I have a view on the whole school shooting thing, but that's for a whole nother show.
Well,
I think that there's a common denominator between the fact that you're seeing college kids climb clock towers and take out campuses at an alarming rate. And I think that there's one thing you can point to. But to answer your question, I wasn't shocked, but I was a little surprised. Just because, you know, I don't know. This doesn't seem like the typical act of a terrorist organization. But at the same time, it's not completely shocking, because I think gone are the days of terrorists hijacking planes and putting them into buildings. We're never going to see that again.
Because they're going to keep coming up with new ways to do it.
Yeah.
Whether it's a suicide bombing or a mass shooting.
Sure.
Or
the creepiest thing to me is it was 2 weeks ago that we were on this show talking about active shooter situations.
Right. I told you about...
We have to have, and I'm sure at some point during this show we're going to have the honest conversation about guns in this country.
Right.
But it is a shame that we live in a world where so many people are being killed in the name of their God, be it whatever you believe. And it's, you know, I don't know. Has anyone said, did they target this place because it was gay?
Okay, so there's still a bunch of rumors that are kind of circulating about that. So the guy, this Omar Mateen, born in New York, he's an American citizen.
Right.
Now, his parents are from Afghanistan. He still has a lot of family in Afghanistan. Interesting little sidebar. His dad kind of does these weird political interviews,
right,
and YouTube channel where he kind of, the dad has proclaimed his allegiance to the Afghani Taliban.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
which is that also religion based? Yes. Or is that just government?
I couldn't answer that distinctively. I'm not
sure.
However, we do know that after or during the process of this attack, this Omar Mateen had called 911,
yeah,
and he went ahead and he identified himself and then had said, you know, pledged his allegiance to ISIS.
Okay.
Now, this guy had already been under FBI surveillance, like,
yeah,
twice.
I actually have a complete audio of that. If you want to hang on 1 second, okay, I can play that so we can kind of see where the FBI was on this guy.
The FBI first became aware of Mateen in 2013 when he made inflammatory comments to coworkers alleging possible terrorist ties. The FBI thoroughly investigated the matter, including interviews of witnesses, physical surveillance, and records checks. In the course of the investigation, Mateen was interviewed twice. Ultimately, we were unable to verify the substance of his comments, and the investigation was closed. In 2014, Mateen again came to the attention of the FBI because of possible ties to Monar Abu Salah, an American suicide bomber. The FBI conducted an investigation, including an interview with Mateen. We determined that contact was minimal and did not constitute a substantive relationship or a threat at that time.
All right, so here's what I get out of that. I get that this is a kid who wanted to be part of ISIS, but necessarily wasn't.
Right.
Now, the way ISIS works, I'm sure they're going to post-fact 100% say that they were involved in this.
They already
have.
Because that's what they do.
Yeah, they already have.
But between the fact that it was this one dude and then that interview, I'm not sure if ISIS had any idea who this dude was before he did this. It screams to me like me trying to pass off that I play pro sports for a team.
Right.
I can say that I do, but I may not really. And that's kind of what I get out of
it. I think that you're dead on that this kid was a wannabe ISIS. He was an attention whore who wasn't part of it. And you're right. They probably had no idea that he was going to do this.
So then how do you classify this?
Okay.
Is it truly an act of terrorism, or is it just one nutbag wanting to be a terrorist?
Well, shit, now it's a mix of two. And that's the worst of both worlds.
I mean,
that's all we have right now are these crazy-ass sociopaths and then these terrorists. And this guy sounds like he was combined as both.
Now, but you have this whole concept of the ISIS sympathizer. Okay.
Sure.
What the hell is that?
That's people that feel that they relate to what ISIS stands for. They believe similar things, but they're not a card-carrying member of ISIS.
Wait, but all of ISIS is bad.
No, all of ISIS is bad. In other words,
this isn't a thing where, like, there's good Muslims and then Islam. I understand the separation there.
No, there are absolutely, and the FBI knows of plenty of them, folks that live here in the States that search ISIS websites, and they're trying to participate because they believe similar things, even though they're not over in the Middle East, you know, actively.
Think of it like a neo-Nazi.
Then why are they still here? Why are they even gone?
Well, that's a big chunk of what happened with the shooting in California with the husband and wife that took out a bunch of their coworkers back however many months that was. Was the idea of, can you research his cell phone? Can you, and that was a big freedom of speech, or not freedom of speech, but freedom of information or whatever the case was, where they couldn't legally take his cell phone and search the contents to find out who is he talking to in the Middle East? Who's he working with on this?
Right.
So there are, we know for a fact, the FBI have identified folks here in the United States that communicate with members of ISIS or whatever the case is through websites, through Twitter, all of this stuff.
But when we find out, why are they not automatically kicked out of this country?
Because you can't prosecute somebody for reading something.
Ugh.
Yeah.
But it goes back to book burning. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, just because I'm walking around with a copy of Mein Kampf under my arm doesn't necessarily make me an evil person. I understand your point of view. I understand it, but it's a very slippery slope.
But this is why Donald Trump is going to be our next damn president.
Well,
I mean, if this plays right into his hand, and I have not been a Trump supporter, but he's been calling out as being harder on this all along, and tracking people who come into our country.
There's a fine line between being protective of your borders and being North Korea, and completely controlling what comes in, what goes out, what's disseminated to your citizenship.
But don't you think it's time for that now, even if we don't keep it for a long time? As it stands right now, there's these people coming into our country and killing our people.
I think that there's a time to close the borders, and I think that we are getting close to that. As far as martial law within the borders,
there's a time to close the borders, and there is a time to say every single person who comes in here, from Islam, is going to have to check in with our government every couple months for the first couple years.
But that wouldn't have stopped this guy, because he was born here.
Well, he was a sociopath. He was a combination of the two. And I'm not saying, to me, it's just information. To say we're going to track you for a couple years, we're not going to beat you with sticks, we're not going to be mean to you, we're going to let you live here, but you got to have a job, you got to contribute to society, and if you start Googling shit we don't like, you got to go.
Where do you send them?
Back home. Well, back where they came from.
To New York City?
Yeah, this guy was a citizen. He was born here.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right.
He can't be deported anywhere.
You're absolutely right. So then does it come down to mental health?
I mean, here's the thing. With me, this guy was investigated by the FBI in 2013 and 2014.
And he put on a show for him and fooled him. I mean,
well, no, he didn't. I think what they said of that interview was they believed that he felt the way he felt, but they could not find ties between him and anyone he was saying he was associated with.
Now, however, they did verify that in 2014, if not earlier, he did have face-to-face interaction with this particular terrorist who ended up going over to Syria and committed a huge act of terror in Syria. They lived in the same city in Florida and knew each other. So there was a personal relationship there, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't substantial enough to do anything about it.
Right.
Well, I mean, the purpose of this show is simply to talk this out, because
I agree.
I don't know how I feel. I'm taking this, It's hard because it just keeps happening.
Yep.
And actually, I'm going to read something real quick, and then we're going to come back and we're going to have the gun debate, because that's what we do. But this was by, Justin Slay is my friend on Facebook, and he said, here's how this is going to play out. Mass shooting occurs, then prayers, then insane claims and fear. Then we politicize it. Then we blame everyone. Then accusations. Then the cons will be like, we need more guns. Then the liberals will be like, we need fewer guns. Then everyone will be like, something needs to change. Then we will politicize it some more. They will sell you car window stickers. Then more thoughts and prayers. Then you change your profile picture on Facebook to remember something should have been done. Memorials will pop up. Pop music songs will be sold to you. Burial t-shirts will be for sale. And then nothing changes. In a week, it'll be old news. And then another mass shooting.
Yep. America.
And yep. He hit the nail on the head. We'll be right back. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
Sassy, classy, and a little smartassy.
Okay, the classy part might be a stretch. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
That is the voice of Christina Grimmie, who was the other tragedy that happened over the weekend in Florida.
Yep.
22 years old.
God, so young.
22 years old.
Ugh.
Beautiful young lady. Very talented. She was on season 6 of The Voice, I believe.
Yeah.
Shot in the head, 10:30 Friday night. Ugh. By a 27-year-old deranged fan. The scary part was reading the... There was an eyewitness who was behind the guy in line who killed her. And her name was Destiny Riviera, and she said, when he was walking up to meet her, her arms were open waiting to greet him with a hug. Then there were three pops. Then I saw a yellow barricade fall, and the two people who had just met her before him started running. I saw Christina's leg fall to the side and saw her hit the ground like dead weight. I couldn't see her face. I saw her brother jump over the merchandise table, and then it was all a blur. Everyone started running, and I heard the final pop. Regarding the shooter, she said that he was in line in front of her. He seemed nervous. He was there by himself, looking around, like he was trying to do something because he was there on his own. Important to note, you know, big sign on the door when you walk in, guns prohibited.
Of course.
Now, this is a situation where having a gun would have done nothing for this poor girl.
Nothing.
However, her brother is an absolute hero for tackling this man, because maybe he would have gone on and shot more people. And in that case, you know, having a conceal and carry weapon would have come in handy. But why do we hate each other so much?
I don't necessarily know that this is a hate thing. I mean, look at what happened with Selena back in the day.
There are
people out there that are so deranged and crazy and make up these scenarios in their head that they have these connections and relationships with artists, and things get so twisted that they get like this. This hits really close to home for me.
Right. Well, you
really close to home. I mean,
you work in the music industry.
What you just described was a fan shooting an artist at a meet and greet.
Exactly. Which is what you are at all the time.
I set these things up on a daily basis, and you broke down last week during the show, and I may now because we read this story, and I just have flashes of all of my friends,
right,
that I've, you know, that are rock stars and pop stars that I've worked with, and I couldn't even imagine.
It's your job to protect them.
The last thing you want to do is put someone that is trusting you in a position for harm.
Yeah.
And you never in a million years think that your fans or the people that are trying to win an experience with an artist would take it that way and do something like this. But there just are those people in the world that are not right, and it's not upbringing, it's not anything more than there's just people in this world that are not right in the head.
And unfortunately, they're not walking around with signs that say it, so we don't know it.
Not at all. I mean, the biggest, from a fan point of view, the biggest meet and greet that I've ever been a part of was I met Katy Perry 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, her big tour.
And it was very quick interaction, but there was, I would say, 200 of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, it usually happens before a show.
Yeah.
So you're not going through the main doors.
Nope.
You're not going through metal
You've
detectors.
You've got a special pass to get back.
Yep. You're taken through back alleys. You skirt security. So there's no way to do anything as far as screening unless you have someone who's patting everybody down.
Right.
But it's just mind-boggling to think that this something this personal could go this bad.
Yeah.
You know, I have a few bands that I have worked with and a few that I currently work with that have a head of security who is the liaison for setting up meet and greets.
Mm-hmm.
And that person may or may not be carrying at the time of a meet and greet.
They all should be.
Just in case.
They all should be.
But even
if you have an armed security guard, and even if like at the nightclub with the arms, you can't stop an ambush from behind.
You
can have the biggest gun in the world. And if you're ambushed from behind, there's nothing you can do about it.
No.
Because if you have an armed guard, guess who's going to get shot first?
Yeah, the guard.
The guard. But at the same time, I just, you know, I don't ever like to be put in a box. I'm not political at all.
Right.
I have voted both Republican and Democrat.
I have too.
In elections, and I am all over the spectrum from I hate abortions, but I love gay people. So, right. I mean, there's no box to put me in. But I don't understand how it would not be beneficial for more good, responsible citizens to have their conceal and carry. I don't understand how lives... I don't understand that people don't understand how many lives could have been saved if one person had their conceal and carry in that nightclub and was able to take out that shooter
right.
after he killed 10 or 12 people and saved the other 40.
I agree.
A lot of people will make the argument that, well, when more people have guns, then there's just bullets flying back and forth everywhere. And that does not happen.
We're not talking about taking things back to the Wild West.
No.
And I don't think we're ever going to go back to the point where you're going to see people dueling in the streets.
I wish that people who were against conceal and carry were forced to take the class.
I agree.
And learn how much we have to learn as people who carry firearms. And it's not like that. And also, there's a good opportunity that because it was a nightclub and because it was dark, that somebody with their conceal and carry couldn't have gotten a clear shot.
Yeah.
And anyone who has their permit and is a responsible gun owner would not take a shot unless they were 100% certain of what they were going to hit.
The key word that you said in that sentence was responsible. And there are people in this world that are, and there's people in this world that aren't. I think when you talk gun control in any means, the bigger issue is that neither side wants to compromise.
Which is stupid.
It's 100% stupid.
It's like we've got people on the left saying, take away our guns.
Yeah.
And we've got people on the right saying, let's carry AR-47s or 15. See, I don't even know what it is. I'm not a gun nut.
There's so many. Well, look, I grew up in a house with guns. My dad and my grandfather used to take me hunting all the time as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
My dad to this day probably has, I would say, at least 15 to 20 shotguns, mm-hmm. a few deer rifles, handful of handguns. I don't fear guns. Guns don't kill people. Irresponsible people kill people.
Kill people.
That said, and my dad is, by full disclosure, my dad is a member of the NRA. But I do not understand why the NRA insists on saying that we cannot outlaw the privatization of assault rifles.
I don't understand.
There is absolutely no reason for any non-military person in this country to own any fully automatic and or assault rifle. Furthermore, there's no reason for anybody to have armor-piercing rounds.
No.
Deer are not out in the wild wearing Kevlar vests.
No.
And if you need a fully automatic gun to take down whatever you're hunting, you, sir, need to go to a gun range and learn to shoot better.
And I could see how maybe 30 years ago, maybe as, you know, because there are people who are gun nuts. We're going to have some guests on the show here in a minute from a range who are going to kind of speak from that side of it. So maybe 30 years ago, there were people who collected those kind of guns as memorabilia pieces and war pieces or something. But we live in a different world now, and you can't have them anymore.
I agree.
Maybe you used to have them. Maybe your grandpa had them. Maybe you mounted it above your fireplace. You can't anymore.
You know what we also used to have 30, 40 years ago? Lead in paint. And all sorts of shit that has now been found to be either illegal or bad for us.
Right.
Things can change, and rules and laws could be amended and compromised and rewritten. And we as a society, and the gun control is just the biggest example of it, need to get to a point where we stop being an all or nothing people.
Yes.
There is middle ground.
Meet in the damn middle. Because I think that I think we need to stop using the word gun control, because every time someone says gun control, people freak out and think it means you want to take away their guns. And I don't think that's the case.
But you know what? I think that is in a large part due to the extreme right who pushes that, because they know if they say that the lemmings of the world will go, oh, well, I don't know what's going on, but they say they want to take all my guns, and I don't want that. You need to be informed.
It took me a long time to learn that, because as a gun owner, every time I heard gun control, I'd be like, ah, you're not taking my gun.
Yeah.
But the more I looked into it, the more it was just that, you know, they don't want people to be able to just buy guns off the streets. They want to make more rules. They want to make handguns harder to get. You know, and then the problem is, if you make the handguns harder to get and you make more rules and you want me to jump on a hoop three times to get it, guess who's going to do all that?
Right.
The good guys.
Well, I understand the point of view that for the most part, the people committing senseless acts are not the ones going through the proper channels to get guns.
Right.
I understand that. But my thought process, at least when you come to the fully automatic and assault rifles, are if you stop producing them, except for military contracts,
then maybe in 30 years it'll be a better place for my kids to live.
Well, that, and if they're only being sent directly to the armed forces, you damn well know there's paper trails on all those guns.
Exactly.
And if one gets into the general population, they'll find that leak.
Exactly. We need to start over. We need to start over.
We just need common sense. Common sense has left this country years ago.
Yes.
We have all become selfish brats that want everything our way.
Yeah.
And if your way doesn't meet my way, then screw you. I still want my way.
If I could go back in time and uninvent the gun, I would do it tomorrow. But I can't. So now we're left with what we live in now, and we have to deal with it the best we can.
I don't necessarily think we need to get rid of guns as an invention. It's just be smart. Be responsible. Think. And think rationally. Don't think, well, if that person's got a gun, they're going to shoot everyone. No, they're not.
No, they're not.
They're not. Like, guns are not evil. Guns are not from the devil.
No.
Like, guns are perfectly fine. Yep. I have no problems with guns.
Well, I'm going to tell you my story regarding my concealed carry. We've got some guests coming in next, so we're going to cover that head to toe. We'll be right back. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show.
Come on!
Mondays suck a little bit less.
Because the Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
Only Michael Jackson can heal us today. God, this sucks. And I know that people are, you know, yelling at me through the radio saying, but this guy got his gun legally. They're totally right. I mean, they're totally right. Everything that's coming out of my mouth right now is just coming out of my heart. It's not like, I'm a radio show host. Right. I am not the head of CNN. I am not, I'm hurting with our country right now, and I don't know where to put it, and I don't know where to put the blame. So right now, I'm just pissed at everybody.
No, I get that, and there's no one right answer, and that's part of the problem. And it's, we started to talk about it in the last section, that both sides seem to want absolutes.
Yeah.
And neither absolute is correct.
Yeah.
You can't have everything. You can't have nothing. There needs to be common sense and middle ground. And that's where you as a person need to take the time to inform yourself, educate yourself, and know what is common sense right.
And you know what I miss? I miss after, it seemed like after 9/11, it was like this unity and peace for a while. And now,
when everyone remembered that they're greedy?
Yeah, now when there's a terrorist attack, it's boom, punch you in the face fighting. Like, we just skip the whole unity shit and go straight to yelling at each other.
Yep.
You know? And so we have some guests here today who I'm sure are like, thanks for inviting us today. We have Katie and Jesse here. They are from STS Armory, and it's in Pontoon Beach, but I still consider it Granite City. Is that okay? And so there's a microphone. There you go. Say hi, Katie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you guys?
Good.
And so they have a range in Granite City, Illinois. Not a range. You have a armory shop.
Correct. Gun store and training center.
Exactly. So I wanted to bring you guys in, and I wanted to talk a little bit about my experience, because I've mentioned on the show a couple of times that I have my conceal and carry, but we've never, sat down and got into it. We've never really had a reason to. And so I wanted to share my story with you guys and with the listeners and what happened. So I did not grow up in a house with guns, ever.
Mm-hmm.
I think that my dad had like a BB gun. I remember shooting it like once or twice in our backyard at a Target. But I did not grow up with guns. If you would have told, the teenage Kelly Mano that you're going to grow up and have three kids and carry a loaded 6 hour in your bra every day, I would have told you you were crazy. But the first time that I ever really, the first thing that really knocked me back was the Sandy Hook shooting with the kindergartners. That was the first time that I called a friend and said, teach me how to shoot a gun. So I went to a gun range for the first time ever in my 30s. And the first time you walk on that range, oh my God, it was so scary. It's so loud. I had never heard a gunshot, and I was just over my shoulder constantly. And I'm like, I'm not sure if this is for me or not. And it was a little bit later in the news, there was another similar shooting. And I thought, okay, I need to look into this a little bit further. So I signed up for my conceal and carry class. And my husband, Jimmy, and I both took it. And the conceal and carry classes that you take, I know that you guys offer them at SDS. They're great classes. You learn everything from, they literally started me with a rubber gun.
Yeah.
Because it was like a blue rubber gun. And they're like, here you go. We're not going to trust you with a real one for about 7 hours.
Right, right.
So it's a very, very instructional class. And I loved the class. And I still didn't have the guts to actually carry. And that's what I also tell people is just because you take the class doesn't mean you're like,
right.
John Wayne the next day. You
right.
know, you. I took the class and didn't carry a gun. So fast forward to August, I guess, what was it, 2 years ago, right around the time of the Michael Brown shooting.
Right.
Our daughter plays in a soccer league. I was the coach, and our league was in Ferguson. And it was the first game of the year, and we were in an open soccer field with first graders. I was the coach on the field. My assistant coach, Rob, was on the sidelines with the girls. So I had half the girls on the field, half the girls were with him. And these two cars pulled up right behind. It's like our goalie, a row of cars, and then a street. But the street was elevated, so we could see everything. Two cars pull up, and they start exchanging gunfire in front of all of us. All of our kids, my own children, who at the time, I didn't even know where they were. I knew that my mom was there. My husband was there. So it was complete chaos. People started running on the field, grabbing their kids. I grabbed the girls on the field. The only thing that we had to shelter us was a wooden soccer bench, which would have done jack shit.
It might have stopped a round or two.
Had they had this was a domestic dispute. So this was two guys either in gangs or whatever that didn't like each other that were shooting at each other. It had nothing to do with the soccer game, but I was laying on the field with these kids and I could hear like a voice in my head say, Kelly, if you get out of this, you will never, ever be in a position to not protect yourself again. And I could not get to, you know, St. Louis County Police Office fast enough on Monday morning. I'm like, what do you want? My fingerprints, my birth certificate, my firstborn child. What do you want? And so when I say that I have my conceal and carry, I don't want people to think that I represent, you know, somebody who's like a gun nut and I've got this big arsenal. You know, I had an experience that taught me, and now that I have my concealed carry, I look back and go, oh my gosh, what was I doing all that time not having one? And so that's kind of why I wanted to have you guys here to talk a little bit about that. What are some misconceptions about people with a concealed carry? Do they think that you're all crazy gun nuts? Do they...
I think some people do. I think some people think that concealed carry is just for the crazy gun nuts. But you'd be surprised how many, especially females coming into the firearms industry, the growth rate is crazy how many ladies have joined the gun industry for that specific reason. They've had an instance, mm-hmm. which now they've decided, I need to protect myself. I need to learn. I need to figure this out because nobody's going to protect me but me.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, especially I have a husband who travels. Mm-hmm. Somebody breaks into my house, a 6-foot-tall guy. What am I going to do?
Exactly.
You know, what on earth could I possibly do to stop him? And you're right. It is the females are starting to, you know, progress in this, because for the longest time, you know, I mentioned that my husband took the class with me. Mm-hmm. It ended up not really being for him. He never followed through. He never got his license. He doesn't carry. I do. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. We will go to like an event or a concert and they'll pull him aside and pat him down and they will just wave the 5-foot-tall brunette girl on through. Oh, yeah. And they have no idea, you know, that I'm carrying. And it is quite a misconception. So I want to ask Jesse, as a man, and as a, you know, a gun guy, do you, I would imagine you kind of fantasize about being in situations where you're able to save the day and help these people. So when you hear something on the news, like what happened in Orlando, what do you have to say about, you know, if there were a responsible gun owner in the club that night?
I wouldn't say I actually fantasize about it. I've thought about it.
Fantasize is a bad word.
It's one of the things you think about going through a carry class and getting the firearm and starting to carry. It's one of those things you start to have to pay attention to what's going on around you.
You do.
Yeah. You really open your eyes. It's almost, some people would say it's like a paranoia, but you all of a sudden notice, okay, why is that car following me for 3 blocks on 2 turns? Why is this person constantly behind me at the store? What, we've been into 3 stores at the mall and the same person is within walking distance and they're always looking at us. It's one of those situations you just start building up the situation awareness with that when you do that. Now, what was the remainder of the question?
Well, I do think that fantasize is the wrong word. What I meant was when you hear a situation on the news like this, it almost hurts your heart because you think, I wish I would have been there. I wish I could have done something. You know, in a situation like that nightclub, if that were you and you were a patron in that nightclub, what would you have done?
At that point, if I would have been able to see the shooter and I would have been under threat, or, you know, it was obviously the other people were under threat at that mm-hmm. point. And in Florida's cases, the way the law is written, it's a justifiable use of force if somebody was in there carrying and they would have stopped the threat.
Because they have a stand your ground law.
Well, stand your ground law is commonly misconstrued as just because somebody's there and it's a bad person, you can use a firearm.
No.
Somebody has to be under threat.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not you and I are in a fist fight. You can pull out a gun and shoot me.
Correct. So my conceal and carry instructor instructed it like this. If my husband and his buddy get in a fist fight in the bar, I can't shoot the buddy because there's no threat that he's going to kill him. But if we're walking down a city street and someone jumps out of an alley and starts pummeling him with his fist, and I think that my husband's and he's bashing his head into the concrete, then I can kill him. Is that correct?
Absolutely. It falls under if somebody's under death or great bodily harm. No threat of that.
And I think one of the, and I have not gone through personally a conceal and carry, although I've done. My background with guns is almost predominantly within the hunting world. But I think that the common misconception when it comes to people who carry handguns and people who go through conceal and carry is that the class is all about teaching you when you can shoot, when you can do this, when you can do that. When the reality is you were taught how not to. and exactly. when not to. And the one thing that you will always hear when it comes to any responsible gun owner, any irresponsible concealed carry person, law officer, soldier, anyone who is with a firearm for any extended period of time, is they hope they never have to grab that gun.
Ever.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
It's not about having a gun so you can shoot someone and kill them. It's not what it's about. It's about having protection for yourself if things ever get to a point that you have to use it. It's much like when you went to school and there was always that thing on the side of the wall that said, in case of fire, pull this. That is what your gun is. It's not something that you recreationally take out and shoot someone in the kneecap because they're rooting for the other team than you are.
No, and another thing that you guys teach in conceal and carry is that if you pull out a gun, you better not be shooting at somebody's kneecap. You better be killing them. Because if you're...
Absolutely.
You know, and...
But, and you always shoot center mass. Don't try to be the hero who goes for a headshot.
Right, exactly. but when I took my conceal and carry class, now you got to remember, they started me with a rubber gun. I had no idea. I was shocked at how little I could shoot people. I mean, like, you know, I thought... I mean, they make you go through all these laws and rules. Yeah. And if they're... If they're... Like, somebody could, you know, break into your house, but if they're running away...
Yep, you cannot shoot someone
in the back.
Right, and so people think that people who carry guns can just run around shooting people, and we can't, and we won't, and we don't. And I was going to ask Katie, mm-hmm. you know, because you're a female, you know, what are some common questions you get about carrying?
Biggest thing is what I get from, especially being an instructor, is how do I carry? How do I carry on a daily basis? Do I carry? And be surprised how many people in your life actually carry that you don't know.
I know, right?
Yeah. Male, female, across the board, so many people carry. And it's funny, the customers that we see come into the shop that I never realized, you know, and I've known them for years throughout the community and never realized that they actually carry. So the biggest question I get is, can I use it? Well, if somebody's threatened my life or those are, who are in my realm of protection, absolutely.
There's something about having a new conceal and carry permit where you have to tell everybody you know secretly. Mm-hmm. It's almost like when you're pregnant and like you haven't told everybody yet, but like you're so proud.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I think I'm out of that a little bit because I'm about 2 years into it. But, mm-hmm. you know, there was definitely a while there where I was like, guess what's in my bra? Like, guess what I have? People ask me a lot as a mom, you know, how do you safely conceal and carry? Mm-hmm. And I am a complete open book about this because I have kids at my house all the time. I have other people's kids at my house all the time. I am a kid's mom. I like kids more than I like grown-ups. So as a female and as a mom who has my conceal and carry permit, my firearm is always in two places. It's either on my body mm-hmm. or it's in a safe.
Correct.
Because it's never in a purse. It's never on a dresser. It's mm-hmm. never on top of a refrigerator. Mm-hmm. I heard of a kid killing his brother or something. The dad like wrapped the gun in pajama pants and stuck it up on top of a refrigerator.
They make good safes for a reason.
They make great safes for a reason.
And they make good quick access safes too.
Very quick access safes. And I practice mm-hmm. at home like I'm James Bond when nobody's home. They teach you that to mm-hmm. practice getting into your safe from where you lay in bed.
Oh yeah.
And I absolutely practice that. And I go to a range once a month so mm-hmm. that I know what the hell I'm doing. And as a female, it took me a long time to find comfortable places to carry.
Correct.
I probably returned about 3 holsters.
Oh, I probably own 30 that I've tried. And
yes, I owned 3 that I like.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I have sent back several mm-hmm. of them. So tell us a little bit, how do you feel about the situation with the young lady in Florida who was just gunned down?
The singer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Unfortunately, stuff like that, even if she had armed security standing right there,
there's nothing you can do.
It was a crime of opportunity. He knew what he was doing. There, the likelihood of somebody being able to stop him was very, very slim. Right.
That was when I first got my conceal and carry, my mom said, because she does not really like guns mm-hmm. at all, and she's like, well, how do you know it's going to help you if somebody just going to come up and shoot you? Or I'm like, I don't, but I at least want that chance.
Absolutely.
I at least want that chance, because if somebody comes up to me and says, give me your purse, and sticks a gun in my face, guess what I'm going to do?
Give me your purse.
I'm going to give them my damn purse.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hope they run. you know, or I'm going to throw it when they bend over, then I'm going to blow their head off. So tell me about the conceal and carry classes that you guys give and when you guys have another one coming up.
We give our classes, we're in Illinois, so our Illinois classes are 16 hours. We don't get the cool 8-hour class like Missouri does.
Oh, you guys are 16?
16 hours, oh. Yeah. So typically...
Is that one day?
No.
They split it up.
I'd have no voice left by then.
I was going to say.
No. Typically, we do most popular is a Thursday evening, Friday evening, and Saturday all day, just right. because you're not giving up your entire weekend, and yeah. you're spacing out the info. We're not info dumping on you.
Right.
You can absorb some of what you're learning and then have a chance to come back and ask questions the next day.
I did an 8-hour class, and you know I have the attention span of a chipmunk. Like
my hunter safety course when I was a kid was 8 hours.
Those are terrible. Yeah.
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 Do you guys show people video of people using their conceal and carry?
Absolutely.
That was like the first thing that they sat down, like, here's a rubber gun. Now I want you to watch this video of people getting killed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, you know, but they tell you if you're not prepared to do this, you don't belong in this class. And that's why I took the class and then hesitated.
Well, and I think we get a lot of people through our classes because our first 8 hours is a basic pistol class. So I get a lot of people through who are just looking for that knowledge. Okay. I've never touched a firearm. Now what do? I want to learn. So let me get in there and learn. And then the second 8 hours, we do the law. So then we break it down how you can carry your legally, how you can legally own a firearm in Illinois. Because, again, we have the fun laws over there.
I know. Well, you guys just passed the conceal and carry not Correct. Too long ago, right?
Yep.
When was that?
First permits came out in 2014.
Okay.
So, yep. So we're still somewhat new as far as the state goes. So we really go into the law. And our next available class is actually July. I have a few spots left on the 9th and 10th, which is a Saturday, Sunday class.
Yep.
And then that following week, I have a Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And how do people find you on Facebook or your website? And we'll put all of this up at kellymano.com in case people are, you mm-hmm. know, driving in their car. And
Facebook, you can look up Soteria Training Solutions or STS Armory. We're listed under both. And that's awesome. The easiest way to find us.
So, Jesse, what do you think about the whole, you know, a lot of people right now are raising hell saying we need to do away with these assault rifles, these military grade, you know, what is it called? Big magazines.
Extended mag or high capacity.
Extended magazine. That shows you how not a gun nut I am.
30 round magazines, et cetera, along those lines. The thing is, the majority of your AR-15s are not actually military grade. They're a civilian grade gun. They're designed for target shooting primarily. There's a lot of competitions around here. There's one just a few miles from here. Mm-hmm. They shoot every weekend at 500 and 600 yards with those style of guns.
Right.
They're head-to-head competitive with that. Then you have a lot of them. A lot of our customers that buy the AR-15s are actually interested in hunting with them.
What are you hunting with an assault rifle?
Feral hogs down in southern Missouri, Arkansas.
Poor Piggy Smalls.
I mean... My thought is when we're talking competitions, why not have people like you as a gun store? And eventually, I think you guys said you're at some point going to have a range as well.
Yes.
Have licenses that are given from whoever, be it ATF, whatever, to people like you who are business owners to where you can stock X number of these guns. If someone wants to come and shoot them, they can rent the time on the range and the gun to shoot. And if they're that competent with it, they can enter a competition under your team to shoot said gun, but they don't own it. Because there's no need for a private citizen to have a gun of that high capacity. Feral hogs are not.
Yeah.
At that point, like, well, I wanna have hand grenades because I don't want to get close to the feral hogs. I just want to lob shit at them.
Right.
Like, the argument can be made in both sides, but it gets back to what we talked about earlier, which is common sense and middle ground. And
we don't have that anymore. It's gone.
Both sides are going to have to make concessions. They're going to. Because you can't get rid of everything, but you're not going to be able to keep everything.
So as gun store owners, is that something you could ever see, like a not just you guys, but other store owners meeting in the middle and saying, okay, you're not going to take away our guns, but what if we stop selling these to the public?
With the current environment, I don't see that really happening with the way the rulings with the Constitution through the Supreme Court that the Second Amendment is a fundamental right. It is the original civil right. It is the Second Amendment is the right that defends the First Amendment.
And I agree, but when that was written, we didn't have, guns that could fire off 33 rounds in 20 seconds.
Well, there were 36 round
guns. We didn't have the crazy ass people that did it.
Well, I mean,
or they were somehow. Well, that is really the only equipment that can just wipe out so many people so quickly. Because
we didn't have machine guns when the Constitution was
written. No, you can kill somebody with a machete, but you can't kill 30 people in 5 seconds with a machete. You know, and so I think that getting some of those big guns off the street would be a great thing.
You look at the tools that are available with that. There's an argument too that the AR style rifles or AK style rifles, mm-hmm. but at that point, if you did restrict that rifle, what is the next step that they're going to try? You know, are they going to take a propane tank and then blow a propane tank up, and then now are we going to ban propane tanks?
And therein lies the discussion.
No, I don't think so, because I think that's completely different. There's propane is not a weapon.
But they didn't have guns on the planes in 9/11, and look how many people they killed. So do we need to fix the crazy people, or do we need to fix the big guns?
The answer is yes to both.
The primary cost, if you go back to the gun violence and the violence mm-hmm. itself, is we have a gun culture in the country. We absolutely do.
Absolutely.
We have the biggest issue in the country right now is actually a mental health problem.
I agree.
If we seriously address the mental health issue, was the terrorist, I'll flat use it, the terrorist that did the shooting
in Orlando
mm-hmm. this morning, was he mentally stable?
No.
Okay. If we look at mental health and address the needs of mental health and get the people that are mentally unstable, it is going to help and progress to getting this problem fixed.
I have to play devil's advocate on this because I don't necessarily think that what happened today was a mental health issue. But I think it is a fundamental belief issue.
You think that it's because he believed in ISIS that much?
I do. I think that there are, just like there are, we use the term crazy, but it's not a fair use of that word. There are religious extremists that, much like Westboro Baptist, will follow the word of the Bible to the letter. There are people who will follow the word of their religion to the letter, right or wrong. And that is what this guy, in the name of his religion, was doing. It's not right. It's not right. But it's not a mental deficiency.
It is because no sane person could do that, no matter what you believe. I believe in Jesus Christ in my heart and my soul, and he would never tell me to go kill all these people, and I would go do it.
Do you want me to explain in one sentence how I can make Christianity a mental issue?
Probably not.
You believe in a holy zombie?
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Well, technically, because he rose from the dead.
It's called faith for a reason. It has nothing to do with your state of mind. It is faith.
But
you can't put a label. People believe what they believe because it is their faith. It has nothing to do with their sanity. And that is the biggest problem that we have in the globalization of the world. We didn't have these problems 40, 50 years ago as much because everybody was kind of isolated in their own little pocket of the world. Now everything has become so global, society and economics and everything else, that we all interact and we all mesh. And it goes back to when you look at the first Middle East war, the second Middle East war, the reason why the people in the Middle East hate America so much is because they don't have a separation of church and state. It is all one. Their government is run by the religious bodies. So we can tell people over there until we're blue in the face, we are not attacking your religion. We are not attacking your religion. But to them, we are.
Right.
And that's the hardest thing to break down. And that is what fueled this dude last night.
Do we start not letting people worship that God in this country?
I don't think you can do that. Because, again, like, it is a small fragment. Now, it is a very violent fragment. I think what you have to do mm-hmm. to go full circle to what we were talking about in the beginning of the program is when you find those people and you recognize those people, get them the hell out of the country.
Yeah.
Now, in the case of this guy, he was a domestic citizen. He was born here.
Right.
So what do you do with him?
I yelled at the top of the show, send him back to where he came from. And they're like, New York.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, and that right there, that whole story of what happened tonight is the perfect storm of what do you do? because it combines so many things.
Yeah.
You've got the gay issues. You've got guns. You've got terrorism. You've got on down
every
the line.
Touchy point that there ever could be in one
everything.
Situation.
You've got every hot button issue going on in America right now in one place, in one crime.
Well, then here's what it is. It's the perfect storm.
It is.
Because a mentally disturbed person can grow up his entire life and never have access to those weapons and grow old and die and never kill 50 people. In the same context, a person with access to those high capacity weapons can grow up his entire life and never have a mental issue and die and never kill people.
I agree.
But when those two meet in the middle and you have somebody who has mental issues and has access to those weapons, yep, that is the perfect storm, and that is when this happens.
Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of our problems lie, is not necessarily let's ban everything or, you like you said, meet in the middle, but a lot of it comes from the fact that our government is not letting people know. There's, what, over 11 million felonies that are not reported to the NICS background check. People are screaming for more background checks. Well, that's all in grand if the law enforcement is actually right. going to follow through with them.
Bureaucracy is always going to be a problem.
Oh, yeah.
There's always red tape that is just, it gets in the way. And there are times where, to use the old expression, you can't see the forest through the trees, you have that problem. There's so many agencies and so many branches that want to have their hand in the mix for whatever reason, and many of them justifiably so. But when you have that many people trying to do something, it inevitably gets messed up because you can't streamline it.
I've been blaming our justice system for you. If it were up to me, we would get rid of every judge that ever existed, and there would be no judges in the world, and we would have laws that say, if you drink and drive, here's what happens. If you shoot somebody, here's what happens. If you have a gun and you don't own one, you're not supposed to have one, here's what happens. And it's clear cut.
I agree.
Instead, we have these judges that just get on these power trips and they make up their own damn rules. Like, two people can do the same damn thing and get different sentences. That makes no sense.
No, I agree. I agree. And, you know, a lot of that comes down to, you know, we talked about it with the Second Amendment, and there are parts of the Constitution that, especially when you talk about the Bill of Rights, that are they mean well,
but shit's changed.
But the shit has changed, and they're so open to interpretation.
Yeah, they are.
Before we go to break, I want to, because we brushed by this real quick, and it triggered a story that I haven't told many people in my life. How much are gun safes that go by nightstands? Like, an average nightstand gun safe.
$125.
Okay.
Mine was even cheaper than that. I think mine...
Decent quality, yeah.
Because I'm sure there's at least a couple people who are going to listen to this and think, I'm not going to buy a safe for my gun to go by the nightstand. It defeats the purpose of if I need to get into it quickly. When I was 2 years old, my mom is folding laundry on the edge of the bed and hears, click, stick them up, mommy. Turns around to see her two-year-old son pointing a gun at the back of her head.
Oh, my God.
And the only thing she thank God she didn't panic. Now, would I have been strong enough to pull the trigger? I don't know.
Depends on what kind of gun it was. Yeah.
But she just went, oh, Chris, give mommy the gun. And I did.
Wow.
And she whooped my dad's ass that night.
And she should have.
To this day, 38 years later, he still does not have a safe at his bedside.
Yep.
Holy
but,
cow.
But for $125, think about that, people who own guns, because I almost killed my mom.
I bought my safe before I bought my gun.
There's a lot of
I'm
people,
not
yeah.
kidding. I bought my safe before I bought my gun.
Absolutely.
Because I knew what gun I was getting, and I tried out the safes the way that I tried out my firearm.
You have to. You have to get one that you're comfortable with.
And
because you want to be able to access it quickly.
I am the only person in my home who knows how to access my safe. My own husband doesn't know how to access the safe. He doesn't know how to shoot the firearm, so he shouldn't have access to it.
I agree.
And so I believe in my heart that we need more good people to carry guns.
Yes.
And I can't, my common sense won't let me think any differently. And I just want to tell people, the best thing that you could do is go take the class.
Absolutely. I think it should be mandatory. Whether or not you ever follow through, I think that American citizens need to stop being afraid of guns and get educated. And I think if there were more people that were
educated.
We could
teach it in high school.
Yep. Much like driver safety.
We used to have a gun safety class in high school.
I think that America needs it. I think that it would settle a lot of fears and get rid of a lot of misconceptions.
You don't ever have to own a gun. You don't have to carry after you go to the class.
No, and that's the one thing I try to stress, especially because I run a ladies only shooting group too.
Yeah.
And I try to stress those ladies, just because you take the class doesn't mean you have to or you need to carry every day.
Hell.
There's so many more training classes you can take. There's a lot of ranges around here. There's a lot of trainers around here that offer those upper level classes, simulator classes, where you're put in the shoot, no shoot scenarios. Can you use your weapon? Because if you can't, then you don't need to.
Are you guys offering any of those classes yet? The real life scenario classes?
Yeah, we actually just got our shooting simulator in, and we get trained on it on Tuesday.
You did? Can I come to a class?
Absolutely.
I love it.
And I'd love people who have never touched a firearm or who are scared of them or who think they're terrible. Come in and try it.
You know, when I was in junior high and through high school, we obviously didn't take gun classes, but they taught us archery.
Yeah.
And that can be a fatal weapon. I mean, what's to stop me from turning around and shooting my gym teacher with a bow and arrow?
Yeah. I'd be very interested. And so to the people out there who say that guns scare them, I take you back to my first time on the range.
Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be scared.
It scared the shit out of me.
Absolutely.
And I was shooting like a little bitty .22, and I was like, oh my God, this is so scary. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a process.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It took me time. It took me
driving.
Exactly. It's a learning process. And so, Jesse and Katie, thank you so much for stopping by. I love supporting hometown businesses. Did you guys go to the carnival over the weekend?
No, we taught. We had a concealed carry class this weekend.
I want you to go ahead and plug your shop one more time because, like I said, I love local business. I love promoting local business. Yeah. Thank you guys for coming in on such a hard topic to talk about with like 3 hours notice.
That's okay.
I'm on Facebook. I'm like, hey, Katie, can you come to my house? So tell everybody if they're interested in taking class and educating themselves in Illinois where they can get in contact with you.
Our shop is STS Armory, and we're in Pontoon Beach on Highway 111, just north of Soccer for Fun. If you're from Granite, you know where that's at.
Yeah, it's not really a beach.
No.
It's not really a beach.
Used to be. We offer classes 3 to 5 times a month, and we have upper level classes. We have simulator. We have firearms, ammunition, all that good stuff.
Yep, and you'll take people like me who had to start with a rubber gun.
Absolutely. We start with blue training guns in the class, then we get you on a live gun with a laser, then we get you on the real gun.
Okay.
So we'd start from the very basic and work our way up.
Awesome.
So, and then if you're in Missouri, check out, especially for the ladies, there is the ladies, the well-armed woman.
Yep.
There's a chapter in Ultimate Defense and a chapter at Top Gun, and I have a
Ultimate Defense
in
is my range.
Quick question before we break. For people who live in Illinois or people who live in Missouri, if I get my license in Missouri, can I carry in Illinois and vice versa, or do you have to take both classes?
Missouri residents can carry in their vehicles in Illinois. They cannot carry outside of their vehicles in Illinois. No matter what permit you have in Illinois, has a non-resident, but Missouri residents are not allowed to apply for Illinois' non-resident.
Oops. We'll
four
be right
states.
Back.
We'll,
okay.
Yeah. Oops. All right.
I got it.
We'll be right back. It's the Kelly Manna Show.
Kelly Manno Show.
princess of the 90s, is now the queen of the minivan carpool. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
That's what a...
You with the sad eyes, don't be discouraged, though I realize it's hard to take courage in a world full of people. You can lose sight of it all, that the darkness inside you can make you feel so small. But I see your true collection.
I just wanted to take a minute and you know, send our condolences to the LGBT community. They were the ones targeted in this attack. But I don't think that this was a gay straight thing. I think this was just a hate thing.
Yeah.
But they are the ones that are hurting right now. And they are the community that needs to be reached out to. And,
sure.
You know, I think that they know, I think that Americans make their voice loud and clear that, you know, there's a lot more people in this world that love you than don't.
Yeah.
And you can take a scoop out of any group of people and find assholes, you know?
Sure.
In this world, you know, we've got all of these different ways to divide us, whether it's by gender or your sexuality or your race or your nationality. But it really comes down to either you're a piece of shit or you're not. Like, that's the greatest divide we have. You're either a good person or you're not. And the thing that I just try to keep telling my kids is that there's more good people in the world than bad. And I feel like most of this show, we've done nothing but talk in circles.
I think
that's what everybody's doing right now because we don't know.
Yeah. Short answer, yes. I think we talk in circles because that's really how this debate is going to work.
I mean,
or wrong right now. There's a bunch of gray.
I've probably contradicted myself 5 times today, and I've probably pissed off plenty of people. But it's just because I'm mad. Because I can't understand why we continue to be so hateful to each other, and I can't understand why it's happening more and more and more. It makes me want to move to a farm and be Amish and shut out the world. And, well, I nearly am moving onto a farm.
Almost.
Close enough. but I don't know. Haas, Gary, any closing thoughts? I mean, we just, you know.
Senseless acts of violence have always been around, and they're always going to continue to be around. And I think the only thing that you can do as a human being is when you see someone in need to try to help them.
Right.
You know.
That's.
I live by a very simple rule in life, which is when I lay my head down on my pillow at night, I try to make sure that I've done more good in this day than I have bad.
Yeah.
And I know that I will inevitably do bad things because you do. That's the way life is. You can't make everybody happy all the time. And I think if we as a society can lay our collective heads down at night and know that we've done more good in a day than we have bad, then you just build on that day after day.
I think that helping other people is a big reason that I got my conceal and carry, because I've always been a helper person. It's like, it's in my blood to run towards the panic and the craziness than to run away.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that was part of, you know, when I think of carrying my, you know, my firearm, I don't think I'm John Wayne. I don't think I'm invincible. I don't think that I'm a badass. But I do think that if I'm ever in a mall with my kids or at a restaurant, you know, there's a thing with people with their conceal and carries. We always sit with our as far away from the front door as we can with our, you know, with
backs
our backs
to the
wall, and we face the front door. Jimmy knows anytime we go in a restaurant or a movie theater that's where I have to sit. That's where I want to sit. Because if I'm somewhere with my kids and somebody breaks into a restaurant and everybody's hiding under tables, when they get to my table, they're going to be staring down the barrel of a Sig Sauer.
Yeah.
You know, and that is why, that's what it's there for.
Yeah.
I'm not here to save the day and fight the bad guys, you know.
No.
I'm just here to protect my family. And if I didn't have to do it, I wouldn't. Trust me, I don't want to carry a gun. It's crazy. It's absolute madness that I've got 3 little kids. And I drive a minivan, and I've got my conceal and carry. I would have never believed it, but then I do want to help other people, and I you know, I'll never be again a sitting duck the way I was on that soccer field. What I didn't finish in that story was that shooting that happened. They recovered 26 rounds.
That's a lot of rounds.
It's on the news. You can Google soccer shooting Ferguson. Every interview in the world will pop up. They recovered 26 rounds, which are gun shells for people who don't know what that means. So this was not like a, ooh, we heard three pops. This was 26 rounds of fire that we laid on a soccer field. And Rocky was the closest to it because he was up on the playground with one of the older friends.
Right.
And he could see the guy pulling the trigger. He was showing me with his hand. He's like, Mom, I could see the guy going like this. And I just remember laying on that field and saying, never again.
Yeah.
Never again am I going to be in a position where I'm in a wide open field and there's two people with guns, and at any point they could have turned towards a soccer field and any one of those kids could have been killed.
Yeah.
And we made it out. And so I encourage people to get their conceal and carry. Also, I think you should get yours.
I've thought about it.
Yeah. I'm trying to get Jimmy to go back and get his again.
I'm not afraid of guns by any means. And my dad has offered many times. Yeah. I'll take the class again. And to me, it's not anything more than just like, man, I just don't want to. Selfishly, I'm like, I don't want to invest the time in doing
it. I think that's half.
I have so little free time that I don't want to spend 8 hours, but it's, you know.
I think that's half the reason Jimmy didn't finish his.
Yeah.
But for me, as a mom, I was on a mission.
Sure.
I could not get that permit fast enough after that soccer shooting.
I tell you, the way 2016 is going with the way people are reacting in the buildup to this election and stuff like that, it makes me want to get one because, you know, and I'm not pro-Trump. I'm definitely not pro-Hillary.
No.
But you see the way some of these people are being accosted and, you know, even in their cars, just trying to get out of somewhere and people are, you know, just mobbing their cars. And I just keep
downtown St. Louis.
And I just keep thinking, like,
people need to quit acting like it's happening in the bad parts of St. Louis, because it's not. It's everywhere.
You know, I fear that this country is going to get a lot worse over the rest of 2016.
I feel like it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to get worse before it gets better. Nothing you and I can do about it, so.
No.
So thank you again for listening to the show. We will have hopefully a much lighter one later in the week.
Can I throw one other thing in there while we're on a heavy note?
Of course.
Rest in peace, Mr. Hockey.
Yes. I mean, there was so much I wanted to get to today. So much I wanted to get to. So we'll try to get another show going here soon. We just wanted to reach out one more time to our lesbian, gay, transgender friends. Tell them that we love you. This was not about you. This was just about one really, really sick person. So we support you and love you, and we will be back later this week. Like a rain.